Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In this episode today, I'm going to be talking about surgeries and chronic fatigue. The two kind of main ways I want to sort of tackle this topic is to look at how perhaps a surgical history or history of medical trauma could be a contributing factor in the complex web of chronic fatigue. So for example, I've had some clients who've had a surgery and they've never been the same since, in a similar way that some people have had a vaccine and they've never been the same since, or they've had a viral infection and they've never been the same since. One of the things that comes up for people is sometimes the surgery is the straw that breaks the camel's back. And then I often actually get asked this question on social media, but also I wanted to then go into talking about what happens if you already have a chronic health condition like chronic fatigue syndrome and you have to elect to take a surgery which is necessary for you for whatever reason. And there might be some fear around relapsing, a fear of getting worse, a fear of a setback, a fear of a flare. And how do we navigate that in the context of our own fatigue recovery journey? So the two will kind of mold into each other as I go through the episode. I'll be talking about this mostly from a nervous system perspective, but there are also some practical things that we can do to minimize the impact of essential surgeries on our health. So before I dive into the episode today, just a reminder and a request to leave a review either on Spotify or iTunes. If you could take a moment just to leave a 5-star rating, that would mean so much to me today because it improves the podcast rankings. It means more people find the podcast and then more people can get the help that they need. And in doing so, you're paying a little bit forward to the chronic illness, chronic fatigue community as a whole. If you want to take it one step further, you could always share the podcast or a specific episode with someone you think who might find it helpful or useful, or just a community that you're part of as well. I always love sort of getting tags and bits and bobs on social media when I see people sharing the podcast, and it makes it all worthwhile for me. So if you could take a moment to do that now, if you haven't already, and then we can dive into the show. So as we're talking about this topic of surgeries and chronic fatigue, I thought I would start off by just backing up a little bit and just talk about chronic fatigue generally. This week, in fact, I actually did a live version of my Getting to Know Your Nervous System workshop. If you weren't there live, if you haven't already watched the replay, there's a replay available of that workshop. It's on my website. So you just have to go to annamarsh.co.uk/workshop. You can sign up there. You'll get instant access to the replay and you can watch it in your own time. I always get a lot of positive feedback about that workshop. So if you are looking to get to know your nervous system better and learn how to support your nervous system better, it is a really great starting point to ground you in some really useful information instead of going down rabbit holes and just getting completely confused. But I digress. The reason why I was mentioning the workshop was because on the workshop, something that I said was that chronic fatigue is the result of psychological and physiological imbalances as well as trauma. And the dose of each is different for each individual. So some people may have a lot more sort of physiological imbalances. Some people may have a lot more, we call them psychological imbalances, but it could be like nervous system dysregulation or trauma that is ultimately impacting their health. And this creates a load on the system, which is too much for the body to handle. And physiologically, there may be mechanisms by which we're just not making enough energy. And then it's kind of more psychologically or from a nervous system perspective, we're also going into these patterns of trying to conserve energy because the body just probably feels like it's been under threat for too long. And ultimately, what develops is what we call a syndromal pattern, which is something I have spoken about on the podcast several times before. And this is really a pattern of instability, which is created in the nervous system's attempt to help you to keep going, usually as a consequence of long-term exposure to multiple different stressors that we haven't been able to process at the time. This could be a lot of little stressors that we've just brushed under the carpet as we've just gone about our busy day to day. Or it could be, you know, several big things that happened and we just didn't have the resources and the coping strategies or even the time and the space to really deal with those things. And the consequence of that is that survival physiology, the fight, flight, and freeze responses, which are an essential part of being human, all the energy that is used to create that gets stuck in the body in some way. And it's all the stuck, undischarged survival physiology which creates the instability in the system. And this is what makes people so sensitive to stress and what makes people's capacity so low. And so some people come towards a syndrome like chronic fatigue syndrome or other health conditions as well. It's not actually unique to chronic fatigue syndrome. They can come to it from like a slow burn where there's a gradual loss in capacity over time. That was more of my type of experience. So probably over the course of, I'm just doing the maths, but yeah, probably over the course of a decade, my body was like slowly circling the drain until it got to the point where there was no going back. But alternatively, some people feel like they're in good health. They maybe just have a few niggles, which they're normalizing. And then something happens and that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. That straw could be a surgery. Or surgeries could be part of the cumulative load, you know, that's filling up the bucket in someone's complete case history. So let's just look at that in a little bit more detail. I guess one of the things also worth mentioning is that it's important to be clear that, you know, surgeries aren't inherently bad. We need to sometimes have surgeries for life-saving reasons and for life-changing reasons. And not everybody who has a surgery or has multiple surgeries will ever have a chronic health condition or chronic fatigue syndrome. But for some people, it is just that tipping point which causes the bucket to overflow for various reasons. And there is actually a recognized condition which is called post-hospital syndrome. And post-hospital syndrome is, as the name suggests, a syndrome or a collection of symptoms which often looks like an increase in depression, an increase in anxiety, an increase in chronic fatigue or other health symptoms after someone has experienced a surgery. And in somatic experiencing, we put surgeries potentially into the medical trauma category, but we could also put surgeries potentially into the inescapable attack category, because even if we have, in like an ideal world, elected to have the surgery, we understand the surgery, we understand the reasons why we're having the surgery is in our best interests, and it's a personal choice. At the end of the day, there's like this primal animal part of us that is sedated and then essentially attacked, whether, you know, that's poked or prodded or cut into or had something removed, whatever it might be. There is an element of attack here. And so in the context of surgeries, what is happening at the time will heighten the charge of the nervous system. Because the nervous system is essentially put in, when we go under anesthesia, for example, the nervous system is put into this very parasympathetic, very dorsal state. The whole body goes into shutdown. And then something traumatic happens, which we can't defend ourselves against. And then we come out again and there's maybe an outcome. We're told if it was a successful surgery, if there were complications, it could be other things that happen like blood loss. You know, there's all sorts of things that can happen. And everything that's happening around the surgery itself is going to influence the nervous system. So some things, just as an example, would be like, was it an emergency surgery? You know, did you have a freak accident? You were rushed to hospital, rushed into surgery. It was a really long, complicated surgery. You came out and the whole body is just completely in shock. Or I often think of women who go into childbirth and then things go wrong and they have to have an emergency C-section and then they lose a lot of blood. And then now they come out of the surgery and they're like thrown into the depths of motherhood. So that's a very different situation to a surgery that is planned. You know you got to have it, you know why you're having it, you've picked the date, you've picked the place, you've picked your surgeon, it's not particularly complicated, it's not particularly lengthy. You know, all of those factors can be factors that are involved. Even if the surgery is self-elected and it's not long or it's not complicated, but you as an individual have a history of anxiety and you feel incredibly fearful and incredibly anxious going into the surgery, that can impact how you feel afterwards, how old you were. So in my health intake that we use with our one-on-one clients, we ask all these questions like, what surgeries did you have? What were they for? What ages were you? So we're looking at like, how old were you? How long was it? How complicated was it? Did it go well? What else was happening in your life at the time? You know, were you going through a divorce? Were you caring for a sick child? Were you caring for an elderly parent? Had you just lost a loved one? There's so many other things that could be happening in life that would make a surgery maybe more stressful. What happened afterwards? If it didn't go well, who was there to deliver the news? How was that delivered? Were you treated well by the hospital staff? Did you have a friend or family member, someone who felt comforting to you, who was there holding your hand and supporting you at the time? Did you have the space that you needed to heal and rest afterwards? Or were you all of a sudden back into caring mode for pets and family members or going straight back into work? Did you have enough support around you? What was the amount of pain that you experienced afterwards? And was there support around managing the pain? So as you can see, there's so many different factors involved that can influence the landscape of the nervous system as we experience a surgery. And as you can imagine in someone's timeline, you might have one person who's just had very simple surgery once, and then you get another person who's had several surgeries under quite stressful conditions over a number of years, which would potentially create more wear and tear on the nervous system. But it's also what else is going on in the body as a whole. Are there gut infections? Is there mold? Are there nutrient deficiencies? Are you getting enough sleep? All the things that I talk about on this podcast, those are all things that are either filling up your bucket or keeping the bucket fairly empty so that there is then capacity to endure the surgery. So hopefully that brings a little bit more context and a little bit more understanding into where surgeries fit in that kind of chronic fatigue progression timeline. And as I said, I've worked with clients who've said to me, I had this surgery, was nothing major, wasn't long, wasn't complicated, was pretty straightforward. But when I came around from the general anesthetic, I never felt the same since. And that can just be sometimes because the surgery is the straw that broke the camel's back. And even if the surgery was quite simple and straightforward, there may have been other things that happened prior. But hopefully you can also see that even just a single surgery, which was particularly traumatic, could also be a huge contributing factor in the cluster of symptoms which make up something like chronic fatigue syndrome. So now that you've kind of had this understanding of how surgery can potentially impact our nervous system, I guess the next question is, what do we do if we need to have surgery? We already have a syndromal condition or a chronic health condition, but we need to have a surgery for whatever reason. And so, sometimes things just happen that are beyond our control. I hope this doesn't happen to anyone, but if someone was in an accident and they had to have an emergency surgery, that's just what's going to happen. But if it's a situation where we're able to make decisions and we're able to plan and prepare, these are some things that you might want to consider. And you would have heard me talk endlessly by this point in time on the podcast about the importance of stabilizing your system. And I talk about these stabilizing factors, which is making sure that your blood sugar is stable, making sure that you have a good circadian rhythm and sleep routine, making sure you're pacing and you've got a good movement routine. And then other considerations might also be, you know, you want to make sure you're not, you don't have any underlying infections at the point of going into your surgery, or you're not experiencing like a compromised immune system, or you are not really overwhelmed with toxins and, you know, maybe have a mold exposure and have high levels of mycotoxins or anything like that. So we want to make sure that we're as stable as we can be. Doesn't mean we have to have a huge capacity, because there's a difference between stability and capacity. But we do want to make sure that we are stable enough, because obviously the surgery will be inherently destabilizing. So the more stability we can create in our system prior to the surgery, the better. If I was going into a surgery, even now with my current state of health, I would be thinking about that. It's like, how do I just keep life on a very even keel, keep my self-care on a very even keel, have a lot of space before and after so that my system can be as prepared as it can be going into the surgery. Ultimately, what we're looking to do is really maximize our stress resiliency. Then there are a few things you can also think about as you prepare for your surgery. And this is really just to help the nervous system feel as safe and supported as possible in the preparation for the surgery. So it's really important, like, knowledge is power. And we want to have the certainty of, like, knowing what the surgery is for, knowing why we need it, knowing where it will be, who the surgeon will be, what the plan is for the day. Have you got a friend or family member who's going to come with you? Who do you want to be there with you when you wake up? Like, what are the visiting requirements or visiting restrictions? If you've got kids or pets or plants or, you know, elderly parents that you care for, who's going to take care of them, not just while you're in the procedure, but also afterwards, so that you can have enough space for your recovery? When you come around after the surgery, what are some of the things that you might want to have with you? You might want special foods brought in, and you maybe need to check with the hospital about what you can and can't bring in. You might want a special blanket, or you might want certain books or podcasts or music or, you know, flowers, or just anything that helps your system feel better resourced and comforted. And maybe there's someone you can delegate to be in charge of all of that, so you don't have to take the responsibility all on yourself. And then, you know, if there's news that needs to be delivered afterwards, you know, do you need a friend or family member in the room with you while that news is delivered? Maybe there's certain people you do not want with you, and you have to be really clear about, they can't come and visit until I'm ready. So think about what supports you do and don't want around you at the time. And also, really important is what plans need to be put in place for proper recovery. And often people who are recovering from chronic fatigue syndrome are not going to be rushing back to work or firefighting, but you may have kids, you may have other dependents, you may have needy cats or dogs or whatever it might be. And it's very tempting to feel responsible to rush back into things. And so I'll share, for example, my mom, who's in South Africa at the moment, she's just had to have a surgery, and she's basically a carer for my stepfather. And in preparation for her surgery, she had to make a lot of arrangements, like who's going to care for him while she's in hospital. When she is able to come home and he's able to come home, then, you know, she's not going to be able to care for him as she usually would. So, you know, who's going to come in and help with some of the jobs so she can just sleep and rest and do the things that she needs to do? So all of these plans, you know, being put in place and having your village of family, friends, connections, neighbors available to really allow you to feel supported so that you can take the rest that you need can really change that whole surgical experience, because, you know, connection is one of the needs of our nervous system. And then just to remember that as we're healing, that healing takes energy. And if you're already experiencing an energy compromised condition, it's expected that your baseline will lower, but your baseline can also increase again gradually afterwards. And so here, from a more practical nutritional point of view, I would be just thinking about like a really great diet. You know, sometimes if we've had something happen, like a surgery, we kind of just want to comfort ourselves with comfort food. Personally, I wouldn't advise that, you know, maybe like a treat, but not to kind of get into the habit of just eating whatever you want. To think about lots of anti-inflammatory support, things like bone broth, collagen, amino acid supplements, if you're finding eating hard, so that you're getting your protein in, because the protein is going to help with tissue repair. Omega-3 fatty acids, oily fish, and just fatty acids in general, also really important for modulating inflammation and tissue repair. I will be thinking about supporting the gut, so maybe probiotics, digestive enzymes if needed, maybe something like butyrate, vitamin D, vitamin A, and maybe systemic enzymes, glutathione. Like, that would kind of be in my recovery toolbox, and just really making sure that nutritionally my body's just getting all the goodness that it needs to heal. And then finally, I would say just the other things to consider would be, if you have a lot of fear over an elected surgery, might be worth having some therapy, maybe with a somatic experiencing practitioner prior to the surgery, to help you prepare your nervous system for the consequences. And if you're struggling afterwards, if the surgery didn't go to plan, it was actually more traumatic than you were expecting, or your body just really reacted badly, even if the surgery went okay, to also consider, you know, maybe working through that one-on-one with a therapist. So that can be really powerful. You don't necessarily need to have, you know, long ongoing sessions in a way that it becomes quite expensive. But even, you know, 2 or 3 sessions just working through that surgical event with someone who knows what to do and how to guide you could really make a difference in terms of your recovery. I've done a few of those with some of the clients that I've worked with, and it can be really, really helpful in terms of reorganizing some of those disorganized survival responses that are created when we are essentially sedated and then attacked. And also just pay attention to your sleep. Sometimes, because essentially with this concept of being sedated and then attacked, sometimes when we then try to go to sleep at night, the body doesn't want to let its guard down. So if there's any issues with insomnia, any issues like you sort of maybe fall asleep, but then wake up incredibly anxious, as you know, just as you're dropping off, those could all be worked through from a nervous system perspective to help the body feel safer, to let its guard down, and to allow for sleep. So I hope that has been interesting and helpful today. This is a question I have been asked on social media a few times, so I thought it would be interesting to talk about it. Maybe if this has helped bring some insight into your own timeline, maybe help you make sense of some of the things that have happened to you in the creation of your current health experience. But also, if you are someone who does need to maybe elect to have a surgery and there's some fear around that, it's given you some things to think about in terms of pre and post support, and how you can give your body as much love and care as possible. So I will wrap up here. It has been lovely sharing with you today, and I'll see you in the next episode.